Well, it's wonderful to see all of you. It's a privilege to share this church with you, to be in the house of the Lord together, to be part of Living Hope. I'm excited about what that means. I'm excited as I see you each Sunday. And it's just good to be together. We're in week five of I Need a Breakthrough, and we've been talking about, we've been talking about what it looks like when we have moments in life when God has more for us and when there is breakthrough ahead. And we kind of started with the general process. What does that look like in all areas of our life? How do we do that? What things do we need to kind of forget and put behind us? How do we strain forward? And then last week we said, what does a spiritual breakthrough look like? What might be some components of that? This week, if you've looked at your bulletin, we're going to talk about financial breakthrough. We're going to talk about what it looks like to have a breakthrough in our finances, to maybe reach a place of peace or to move forward in the area of our finances. It was probably 6 months ago now, that I asked a question on a card that some of you responded to and others of you talked to me about. And the question was essentially, do you feel financially out of control? That was the question. And a lot of us answered that question with at least partially yes. So today is your day. There's probably a lot more than just today. But this might be the beginning of breakthrough for you. If there's an area of your life in your finances that needs some help, today might be the day. So we're going to start by looking at what I think is a great example of how we typically approach our finances. And it's apropos because today is Super Bowl Sunday, and the way I want to explore this is to look at a Super Bowl commercial that aired probably, like, I think it was 2 years ago. Maybe you saw it. It was from Doritos, and it involved a goat. So if you didn't see this commercial, I'm going to show it to you. I think it'll serve as an illustration for us as we begin this process. That commercial is so funny. How often might we approach our finances like the man approaches the goat? I think it's more often than we'd like to say. I think maybe even frequently. Oh, that looks like fun. Let's do that. And then we get it home, and maybe it's a little more than we bargained for. Maybe those payments last a little bit longer than we expected. Or maybe that warranty expired and then it breaks. Why does that happen every time, right? The warranty's out and boom, it breaks. Maybe we bought it and now it's sitting in storage. It's been there for years and it's gathering dust. Maybe you have stuff that's ready to go away. I caught that. That's impressive. Huzzah! A reflex is like a ninja. Okay. Totally sidetracked me for a minute. But that's what happens, I guess. But have you made goat decisions, like, in your life financially? I feel like most of us probably have. And I think the goat principle is going to be the first one on your paper. The goat principle, and I think we're going to see in Scripture, is choose fulfillment over fun. Seek fulfillment over fun. Choose is the next point, sorry. Seek fulfillment over fun. That's the first point. Seek fulfillment over fun. Fulfillment is something that gives meaning. There's value to it. It lasts. Fun is something that has moments. It kind of comes and goes. And we should still have fun moments, but they're not going to provide us meaning. And especially financially, it's not going to lead to a great result if we're always pursuing fun. In our culture and in our world, fun and moments of excitement are far more valued than things that actually provide meaning. Long-term things that provide deep levels of satisfaction. Get what you need right now. Enjoy this moment. It doesn't matter what it might cost you in the future. Don't deny yourself anything. You could always just charge it. Impulse buying is in. Everyone wants to convince us that what we have isn't good enough. And so we think this way and we spend this way. And so our budget and our finances get out of control. Not only don't find fulfillment in that, we also end up in financial pressure in places we don't necessarily want to be. Not stability, not peace in our finances, but sort of stressed and really lacking fulfillment. I mean, be honest with yourself for a minute. How many things sit in your house that you were excited about buying? You bought them mostly because of the fun factor, and now they sit somewhere, and you don't use them, ever. Or you give them to Goodwill, or you're going to have a garage sale. But in the moment, that thing seemed like the thing you needed. If we're going to start to have a rein in on our finances, we have to start choosing fulfillment over fun. I'm not a fun like police, right? Like, I'm not like, don't have fun. I'm saying fun should come underneath of fulfillment in our finances. It should be something that fits into our budget, but not something that drives our purchasing. And it's an internal thing. It's not something that can just, you can't make a decision. You got to start to seek it. But it's not something you can just like black and white do. It's inside. It's in our heart. What are we really after? Do we want meaning or do we just want a moment? Solomon in Scripture is a guy that basically was a moment guy. He tried to buy happiness, right? All of us know that we shouldn't try to buy happiness. Like, we've heard the phrase, money can't buy happiness, but we all want to try, don't we? Well, I think I could. Give me $1 million, I could find some happiness, right? Solomon was that guy. Like, he could do anything he wanted. I mean, if you read Scripture and you look back, it says Solomon probably was one of, if not the wealthiest men ever. It says he received every year just in gold. I don't know, who knows what else he got. But just in gold, he received, Scripture says, 666 talents of gold. So in today's money, every year, Solomon would be receiving $1 billion. $1 billion, just in gold, every year. I mean, this dude was rich, right? I mean, like, Bill Gates rich. I think some commentators said he started making, like, bowls and things out of gold because he had so much of it. Like, why not, right? He's rich. He could do whatever he wanted. And he did. He really did. He says in Ecclesiastes 2, that's what he did. It'll be on the screen, Ecclesiastes 2. Solomon says, I denied myself nothing. I refused my art no pleasure. I was all in on the fun boat. Sign me up. Something's in front of me. It's in the moment. I want to do it. I'm all over that. My heart took delight in all my labor. And this was the reward. This is what I got. I worked hard and I got all this stuff. But then he goes on. He says, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, what I'd toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. It was chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained. I chased fun, I think he says, and it didn't get me anything. I was a fun-first financial person. And it was like chasing the wind. I kept grasping at things that never proved to be meaningful. When we build our life around fun, or at least our financial life, it ultimately proves to be meaningless. It feels like we're chasing the wind, never quite getting what it is we're hoping we achieve. So I think the first thing for us to move forward is to start to seek fulfillment in our finances instead of just fun in our finances. And I'm going to give you two of these principles, and then we're going to go really practical, and we're going to have five sort of steps, if you will, totally from Dave Ramsey, but they're good and they're worth it. So the thing, though, is I think, in my mind, these first two are important because if we don't get them started to sort out in our heart, the next five are really difficult. The five things are super practical, super easy, but if we don't get our heart figured out, they're going to be really hard. So the first one, choose fulfillment over fun. The second one, or seek fulfillment over fun. The second one, Paul gives us this one in 1 Timothy 6, and it's another way to break through financially. Choose contentment over discontent. Choose contentment over discontent. I'll read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Choose contentment over discontent. I have a real glaring example of this in my life where I'm the bad one, so I'll give it to you. Who has a phone, right? A cell phone, right? Who's got a smart cell phone? Who's had a cell phone plan for like more than 5 years? Okay, I've had one for like 10 years. And maybe I started in college. I don't remember exactly when that was. And I got my first phone, and it's on Verizon. And at that point, they were doing like the new every two. They kind of still do this, but you didn't have to pay then. It was like literally new every two. So I got my first phone. I went home. It was cool for like a month. And then you can probably all guess what started happening. When's my new every two up? When can I get my new phone? And so then it starts getting like I get a month out from the new every 2 day, like my first one, and I'm like on Google, like on the Verizon website. I'm like, which phones are coming out? Oh, if I wait like another 2 days, this one's going to come out, and then I can get that one. Look at all the features this one has. And as I'm doing that, what's my opinion toward my current phone doing? Yeah, I'm getting real discontent with my current phone because it doesn't do any of the things this new phone does. So that was a trend that continued in my life and possibly still continues, right? So for the small price of getting into a 2-year contract, that I had to pay, or I'd have to pay a fee. I could get a free phone, or I could pay a whole bunch of money and not have a contract. Either way, I've kind of become discontent with what I have. And this became really apparent when I got married, because we both then had a phone plan, and my wife's like renewal plan would come up, and I'd be like, you get a new phone! Like, this is like the most exciting time of my life. Get a new phone, right? And she's like, why would I do that? Because it's a new phone, right? Like, why wouldn't you do that? She's like, I don't need it. Like, my phone works. I'm happy with my phone. And now, I'm not saying that she's the content one in every phase of life, but with the phone thing, it's a really easy example for me to say, like, I'm very discontent, right? Like, I have my Galaxy whatever phone, and now it's like, oh, look at the new Galaxy phone. And the more that I look at the new Galaxy phone, the more discontent I grow with the thing I currently have. How do we choose contentment over being discontent? I mean, have you been there? Have you been there in some area of life where the thing that you want keeps growing you more discontent with what you have? I think Paul's saying where great gain lies is in learning contentment with what you already have. Because then you're free to make decisions without having that constant pressure of discontentment, pushing you forward into some things which maybe you should still do, but many things which I think maybe we shouldn't, especially financially. Paul said it like this, you're not taking any of this stuff with you. And the life that follows this one is so far greater than any of those little trinkets that we're so discontent about, that it would be great gain for us to learn contentment. Growth will happen in that. Our soul is refreshed in that. The lack of anxiety, the lack of stress as our finances are in a place of peace is great gain. Benjamin Franklin said the same thing. Not scriptural or anything. He just said this. He said, contentment makes poor people rich, and discontent makes rich people poor. Discontentment is like this little cancer that just grows in us, and it forces us to all sorts of really bad financial decisions. So can we learn to be or choose to be content? Because it's really a choice, isn't it? I can choose right now that I'm content with this phone that I have and stop looking at all the other ones, right? Until I actually need a phone, and then I can look at all the other ones. It's a choice. We need to choose to be content with where we at, because that's where we'll find that fulfillment level with the one we just talked about. As we learn to be content, we'll start to make financial commitments that are true and lasting and deep. We'll invest in things that are worth investing in. We'll spend our money wisely. We'll come under the lordship of Christ in that area, and we'll start to see these things fall into place. We'll have fulfillment and meaning over just moments of fun. We'll find contentment instead of just discontent. I think these are two internal heart ways to start avoiding buying a goat, right? Like, if you start working on these in your heart, they're going to start resulting in no more Doritos-eating goats in your home. Because God has some pretty fantastic money management principles, really, in his word, and they're great. And I'm not even going to tell them to you. I'm going to let Dave tell them to you quickly, the five sort of really super practical financial tips. They seem easy, and they do seem easy, but they're hard when we don't have these two things in our heart right. They get real difficult because we start growing so discontent, we stop on all these things. So I want to encourage you as we listen to this next little bit of these 5 points, and then I'm going to come back and follow up. He just does such a great job. I don't want to try to fake it for you. He does far better talking about finances than I ever will. Maybe you need to say, as I look at these steps practically, I realize that I'm too discontent to take one of them. So I need to start praying, God, help me to be content with where I am. Or I realize I'm just seeking the fun moment, so I can't follow this step of starting a budget. So I encourage you to be praying through that and even talking to God about it as you listen. 5 steps, super practical, ways to break through in our finances, by Dave Ramsey.
First thing you want to do if you want to win with money is you need to learn to get out of debt. Get out of debt. Now that's pretty basic stuff. No kidding, Dave. That's a great idea. But, you know, the truth is debt equals risk. I have done detailed research, in-depth research, and I have found out that 100% of the foreclosures occur on homes with a mortgage. Debt equals risk. The way the Bible says that, it says the borrower is slave to the lender. You ever felt that way? Oh, I felt that way. I know what that feels like. It's called less than fun. You know, slaves don't have any options. They have to do what they're told. They put bumper stickers on their car that says, I owe, so off to work I go. They're stuck. Slaves have to keep a job they hate because they got to pay the bills. Slaves aren't really generous people either. It's hard for them to give. It's hard to give when you can't hardly just pay the bills that you owe. Got a lot of masters in your life. It's hard to serve two masters, Jesus said. You hearing the Bible ringing through this? It's there. It's hard to live like this. When all the money comes in and all the money goes out, only the names are changed to protect the innocent. Your checkbook sounds like a wind tunnel. Straight through. And one old boy said, I just want direct deposit to the grocery store. It all goes over there anyway. Car payments. Fleeced your car. You got master card. Who named that anyway? You discovered bondage. Or American distress. It's real, isn't it? It's real. People got a student loan that's been around so long they think it's a pet. But what would it be like to have no payments? What would it be like to make the decision that I'm going to get completely out of debt? You got to make a decision how you're going to live. And I figured this out to be true. When we went broke, the borrower truly is slave to the lender. And I decided I wasn't going to live that way anymore. And I drew a line in the sand and I said, I'm done. I got to tell you, it means you don't get to do some things that you really want to do. But it turns out if God wants you to do something, He'll send you the money. Shut up. Quit your whining. Really, because that's what debt is. It's financial whining, isn't it? I want it. It's exactly what it is. And then you use these sophisticated words and language and intellect to completely rationalize it, and it feels all good to you, and everybody looks at you as going, you are so stupid. You look good, but you are dumb. And that's what's going on. And it's going on all around the world right now. It turns out that this is not some ancient scripture. It's the truth. It's how things work. The second one is you need to act your wage. You need to learn to live on less than you make. You are not in Congress. The Bible says it this way. It says, a foolish man devours all he has. If you spend everything you make, according to Scripture, you're a fool. Now, don't get mad at me. God said it. But I've been there. I've been a fool. And you don't want to be a biblical fool. This is not a greeting like, hey, fool, okay? When you read about a biblical fool in Proverbs, This is somebody who hadn't got a chance. And you don't have a chance if you spend everything you make. You have to learn to live on less than you make. And you know, that leads you to the scripture that says, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, contentment is probably the most powerful financial principle there is. Because if you're okay with your car, if you're okay with your clothes, if you're okay with your house, if you're okay, suddenly, you can just kind of calm down, and the debt starts going away, and the savings can come, and the giving will happen, and life starts flowing the way it's supposed to. And then we need to get on a budget. If you worked for a company called You Incorporated, and you manage money for You Incorporated the way you manage money for you now, would you fire you? Don't answer that. So, got to get on a plan. Jesus said it this way. He said, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost to see whether he has enough to finish it? Lest he get halfway up and is unable to finish. And all who see him began to mock him and say, this man began to build and was unable to finish. You better have a plan. Or you'll get halfway up and you'll be unable to finish. That's Jesus. Read it. Red letters. That's the man talking. Don't build a tower. You wouldn't build a house without a blueprint. If you hired a contractor to build a $4 million house and he laid out a paper bag on the front of his truck and said, we're just going to do it like this and started sketching. You'd be going, no. Next. And that's exactly what God does. See, in your working lifetime, you're going to handle $4 or $5 million, $6 million, $10 million. Act like it. Be responsible. Be an adult. On paper, on purpose, before the month begins. Sit down, give every dollar a name, and agree on it with your spouse for those of you that are married. You got to do it. You won't win unless you do. The next one is you have to learn to save money. If you don't save money, you'll be broke your whole life. See, for years I was really good at earning money, but I wasn't good at handling money, so I tried to out-earn my stupidity. Yeah, that's happened to other people, I can tell. You can't out-earn your stupidity. You have to learn to save money. And we teach people to save money for three basic things. Number one, we teach them to save for an emergency fund. Now, Grandma said that. Grandma said to save for a rainy day. Visual aid. You need to save for a rainy day. You know why? It's going to rain. Get ready. Money Magazine says 78% of you will have a major negative financial event in any given 10-year period of time in your life. Something's going to happen. The transmission's going to go out. A kid's going to get sick. Aunt Gertie's going to die, and we got a barrier. Something's going to come up. You're going to get laid off. The unexpected pregnancy, which has always kind of tickled me. But here's the deal. You better be ready. Life's coming. It's coming. And if you hadn't lived long enough for life to knock you over, I'm just here to warn you. I'm an old guy. It's going to knock you over. And it's kind of cool if life shows up and you have money. Because you know what this is? It's Murphy repellent. You know who Murphy is? If it can go wrong, it will. When you have an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses set aside, Murphy will leave you alone. He will visit your neighbors. Have you ever noticed that when you're broke is when everything goes wrong? Your life looks like a country song. But when you put $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000, whatever 3 to 6 months of expenses is, because that ought to be your emergency fund, between you and life, life says, that one's ready, I'll leave him alone. And he backs off. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. Wise people save choice food and oil. You're wise if you save. You're a fool if you devour all you have. You're getting the parallels here, the perpendiculars here. They're all here for you. God's just being real plain. He's telling you, kiddo, I love you, and this is your little instruction book. If you do it this way, it works. If you don't do it, it doesn't. Now, it's not a sin if you don't. Debt is not a sin. It's biblically stupid. But it's not a salvation issue. It's your father going, what am I going to do? That's one of my stupid kids. You know? And guess what? If you save money, you also learn to invest money. Do you know $100 a month invested in a decent growth stock mutual fund from age 30 to age 70 is $1,176,000? Pizza and cable money, and you can retire with dignity. For what we spend on lattes, you can avoid retiring and buying the cookbook 72 Ways to Prepare Alpo and Love It. Invest for your future. Invest for your kids' college. Invest. But you don't have any money to invest if you didn't have money for emergencies. And if you hadn't stayed out of debt. And if you're not on a plan. See how these things start to work together? If you start working a simple system like this and you really do it, it'll rock your world. It'll change everything, and it'll allow you to do the last one, and that's give. Oh, this is the best thing you can do with money. This is the most fun there is with money. Now, you know, certainly you can tithe to your local church. That's the basics. We start there, right? But, I mean, you get a little bit of money, you can have some fun. Got a lady working on our team, and she... We give out profit-sharing bonuses. We share our profits. What a neat idea with the people that work for us. And you know, her bonus every month, she's been with us a while, is $300-$500 a month, depending on how good our profits are. She does pretty good at just on the bonus, you know. And she and her husband decided a few years ago, they're not rich people, but she decided that they were going to start a ministry. And what they do is they take their profit-sharing check and they cash it in cash, and they go to the local Waffle House. And they pray before they go in that God will seat them at somebody's seat that waits on them that needs some help. She said the first time we did it, we went in there and the little lady was pregnant. And she's like, thank you, God. Because listen, if you're pregnant and you're working in Waffle House, you know what? You need a job. This is somebody's working because they need to. You know? No, not picking on Waffle House or anything, but that's tough work, right? Can you imagine what happened when they left a $400 tip and went to the car? How fun is that? Dave, thanks so much for sharing the profits with us. My husband and I are having so much fun. We decided, based on a suggestion of you last Thanksgiving, to create our Waffle House ministry. We take money from the profit sharing, set it aside, and then we pray for God to give us wisdom and place a person that needs the extra money as our waitress. Then we enjoy a fun meal, leave a big tip, and leave feeling giddy. The last waitress we had was very young and very pregnant, and as soon as she walked up to our table, I thought, wow, God, this is going to be so cool for her. Is that broke people can't do that? People that don't live on a plan and have a bunch of payments can't do that. People that don't save money can't do that. But you can't do all of these things unless you do all of these things. You can't just get out of debt. You got to save. You can't just save if you don't get out of debt. If you don't have a written plan, it's not going to work. It all weaves together, people. This is how it works. You know why? Because God's not concerned about your money. He doesn't care about your money. He cares about you. He's crazy about you. He's got a plan for you. And he's saying to you, my children, this is how you live. And if you'll live this way, you'll win. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to change the person in your mirror. He wants you to be a better person. Goodness gracious. He wants you to win at a level you've never won before. I mean, how many of us that have kids? I mean, we want good things for our kids. And if we be an evil, do that, how much more so our Father in heaven? Wow. He's got a game plan for your money. How whacked is that? And it works every single time without fail. Every time you work this, it'll work. Does it work without any bumps in the road? No. Being a servant doesn't work without any bumps in the road, but it is the way to live your life, right? So there's bumps in the road. Get ready. There's going to be people that make fun of you. Broke people will make fun of your plan, which is always a good sign, by the way. So think this through. God has a game plan. Do these basic things over and over. Get out of debt. Act your wage. Live on a written plan. Learn to save because you're going to need it. And then most of all, become an awesome, out of control, abundant mentality giver. Ah, that's when the whole thing, that's when you know you hit it. That's when you know you hit the sweet spot and the ball's going out of the park. You can feel it then. I encourage you. It's not an easy trip, but it's a trip worth taking. God says to live like no one else so that later you get to live like no one else. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it yields a harvest of righteousness. It works every time if you pay a price to win. Take these five things and go change your world.
Money can be tough, can it? Things are so true. It took a while for us, and we're not all the way out of the out of debt one, but it took a while for us to get to a stage where we could give. And he's right. When you get to that stage in your life, all of a sudden it feels like it really does just come together. And you lose that sense of anxiety and stress over finances. And it's a constant life process, but God's principles work. So where are you at financially? Do you feel like you're making your decisions sort of based out of discontent, based out of what's fun at the moment, where am I at right now? Or are you thinking more on a level of fulfillment and meaning in your finances? Are you content with where you're at so you're able to handle it and manage it well? Where are you at on Dave's five steps? It's my prayer as you kind of consider that this week that this is a breakthrough to whatever the next level is in your finances for you. If it's to start paying off debt, maybe that's just what this is. I'm going to start figuring out how to pay it off. Maybe it's to start to save. Maybe it's to start to give. Wherever you're at in that process, I'm going to pray that God works to break you through to the next one, to build fulfillment and meaning and contentment in your life. That's my prayer. Let's pray for it together. Father, I'm humbled that your word speaks with such clarity on so many things. And that this one just seems so simple to me. I mean, I feel like I was a little kid learning that I should not get in debt and I should save money and I should, but I still feel like it's so hard. Will you help each of us in our marriages and in our homes as we deal with our finances? I feel like there's so much you have for us and we can manage our money in such a way that we just can never get there. We can hold ourselves back if we're just not real smart with our money. So will you help us in these steps to seek fulfillment in our finances, to look at where our money's going and just analyze it and say, is this where it should be going? And Do we have an appropriate fun budget, or are we kind of all fun and no fulfillment? Help us to be content. Let us choose contentment in times when everything around us is pushing us toward discontent, so that we can start to take these steps to reach a place of peace in our finances. I pray for each person. Will you break their family and them individually through to the next thing you have for them in their finances? We trust you for that. We know, as Dave said, that you'll provide if we need. So we rest in that. Thank you for what you mean to us. Thank you for walking alongside of us. Christ, thank you for your salvation and your free gift to us.